Testing, 1, 2, 3. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you all here. Please open your Bible to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. Ezekiel, chapter 47. It's in your bulletin as well. There's a handy little picture in there, verses 1 through 12, and it will be on the screen for you also. I'm going to read the first few verses, and please join me at the end. I'll read from verses 1 through 8, and please join me at verse 9 through 12. So, Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12. The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east. And the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went eastward from with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, and now it was a river that I could not cross, because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" And then he led me back to the bank of the river. Verse 7. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the Dead Sea. And when it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh." Let's read together, verse 9. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En Gedi to En Eglaim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. The very word of God. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, fill our minds with your truth and our hearts with your love. So, a strange passage. We read just the small portion of a very large section of the Bible. If you have your bulletin, you can see a picture that's in there from a video made by a YouTube channel called The Bible Project. And in the picture, you can see it's a kind of picture explanation of this section in the book of Ezekiel. So you can see that it starts at chapter 40 and ends at chapter 48. And we read just a small part from chapter 47. What is happening? Okay, that's the big question. So I want you to just kind of have in your mind an image of what a temple is. You can think of any temple. You can think of the temple on top of Mitaki-ji. You can think of the small temple down the road here across the street. You can think of the great Kiyomizu-dera temple in Kyoto. Or you can think of any temple, any place of the world. And what is it? Let me tell you. Being a Christian is not about going to heaven. Believing in Jesus Christ is not about when you die, your soul goes to the clouds. Okay? That's not what it is to be a Christian. Christianity is not about just escaping from hell. That's not the meaning of following Jesus. Okay? To be a Christian means you want heaven to come to earth. That's what you're praying for. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that every day as a Christian. Let heaven come to earth. Because we want the life of heaven to lift up the death of the earth. We want the love of heaven to fill up all the places where there's hatred on earth. We want the truth of heaven to remove all the lies that are here. That's what we want. That's the meaning of a temple. The temple is where heaven and earth come together. That's the whole point. And every culture, every religion, every people understand, if I want heaven to come to earth, if I want this earth to become a place like heaven, we need a ground. And on that ground, we will build a building. Usually the temple is on the top of a mountain because the height, the high place, is where the gods or the spiritual universe is. That's where it meets. And in a temple, usually, there's workers to keep it clean, to meet people and explain what's happening, to teach people the teachings of that temple. They're called priests. And Ezekiel, the author of this book, he was a priest in the great temple, one of the great temples of the ancient world, the Temple of Solomon. The problem was his temple, the place he worked, the place he loved, the place where he believed God came to earth. That temple was destroyed. It was burned. The walls were destroyed. The items of gold and silver and bronze, they were all taken out. And so he's in a place now called Babylon. No more Jerusalem. The temple of Jerusalem is gone. His workplace is gone. And he's in exile in Babylon. No hope. Okay? Tears every day. All around him are refugees of war. He's in a camp on the river. It's dirty. There's no food. It's the desert. There's no water. And he has seen death face to face. And he's writing about it. And this is the end of his book. It's a long, amazing book. The whole theme is hope. when everything is destroyed, everything is gone, and it seems like the enemy has run over you, the message from God is, no, 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 I'm not done. One of the prophets, Jeremiah, a contemporary of Ezekiel, said the words, because of your great love, we are not completely destroyed. Great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, your mercies are new every day. So, okay, now, Ezekiel, he worked in a temple. That was his job. He grew up. His father was a priest. His great-grandfather, all the way down. So he knows the temple. I've been here at Mitaki over 20 years, almost 25 years. And when I came here, this church building was already here. It was brand new, maybe 5 years old. And at that time, there was no elevator. There was no drums. Just this keyboard. The piano was here. No speakers, no cameras. The soundboard was very small, you know. And after 25 years, I know all of the pews where you sit. I know the good place to stand, okay? I know what it's like to sit in the back. I know what it feels to sit here. I've baptized many people in this tub, okay, where Yukino was baptized, yeah, okay. I know this church pretty well. That's Ezekiel. He could tell you the building is this long, this wide. The place the doors are, the decorations on the door, there's the palm trees and the almond trees on the decorations. And on the doors, there's the cherubim. And inside, behind the doors, there's the Ark of the Covenant with two cherubim. He knows all of this. It's all gone. But one day he has a vision, maybe in a dream. I don't know. Maybe he's just meditating and he sees a vision. And the vision is an angel comes to him. And he says, Ezekiel, I want to show you something. Okay. And he takes them all the way back to Jerusalem. Kind of a spiritual experience. And he says, look, it's the temple. It's new. And it's better. Here's the walls. Here's the courtyard. Here's the altar. Here's the utensils. Here's everything. Right? And that's chapters 40 through 46. The angel of God is saying, Ezekiel, the place you loved and the place you worked at, it's destroyed. But one day, it's going to become new. It's going to be perfect. And not only that, watch this, Ezekiel. Watch what happens. They go to the front of the temple, okay? And let's see. The man, this is the angel, brought me back to the entrance to the temple. I saw water coming out under the threshold of the temple. Somebody left the faucet running, right? Toward the east, because the temple faced east. Water was coming down from under the south side of the temple. So he's facing east, and then on the right side, the south side, there's the water is coming down. And then he brought me out outside to the north gate. So they turned left outside the entrance, around the outside, and the water was trickling from the south side, same as the first one. The man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was ankle deep. So they go out of the temple. They walk 1,000 cubits. It's a long ways. And now the water is now ankle deep. It's growing. Another 1,000 cubits, the water was knee deep. Another 1,000, the water was up to the waist. So it's getting higher and higher and higher. What is happening? And then it goes, and the water is now so high they could not cross. It's now a river. So it goes from a stream and it becomes a river. And he says, Son of Man, that's Ezekiel, look at this. He led me to the bank of the river. And then it gets more beautiful. It's becoming more and more beautiful the further and further he goes. The water grows from his ankles to his knees to his waist. Now it's too deep, you cannot cross it. But what is that water? It's coming out of the temple. What's happening? It turns the desert into an oasis. This water flows toward the eastern region. It goes down to the Arabah, where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water becomes fresh. Okay, so in your mind, here's Jerusalem. The water is going down into the desert to the east. And on the east side, there's the river Jordan, and then there's the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is salt water. And that fresh water from the temple becomes a river that crosses the desert, and now it comes to the Dead Sea with salt water, and it changes the salt water into fresh water. Becomes a sea of life. No more the Dead Sea. It's the living sea. Yeah? Now, swarms of living creatures will live where the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because the water flows there, makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. It's a river of life coming out of a temple. Okay, I hope you're excited. I don't see your faces because of your masks. I'm excited. This is a vision of heaven coming to earth, making the earth new. The river of life going into the desert, wilderness, dry, arid, lifeless places of the world and bringing new life. Fish. Right? Now get the image, okay? Hi, Res. Welcome. You're right on time. Okay, so I'm a fan of this channel. If you have not subscribed to the Bible Project, you should repent. Okay? Yeah. Do you know this channel? You raise your hand? Okay, good. All right, good. If you are a member of this church, this is a good channel, okay? Yeah. Tamaki, you should know this channel too, my student. Okay? Beautiful videos based in the Bible. Now, they make a wonderful video. It's called Holiness, the theme of holiness. And in the video, they talk about Ezekiel 47 and this beautiful image here. And I explained it to you with my words. It's not enough. You need to have an artist explain it to you by vision. So it starts here at the temple. This is poor little Ezekiel, right? And this is the threshold of the temple on the east side, okay? And it's coming down, and now the south side, it's now a trickle. It goes down into the Arabah, the desert. It's going ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and then it becomes a great river. And then on both sides of the river, there's trees growing, and it empties into the Dead Sea, and now all of it is beautiful, right? Right? It does not end there. That's not the end of it, okay? I'll go back to the scripture. Verse 12, fruit trees of all kinds grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, their leaves for healing. Hallelujah. So that water now is giving life to everything around it. Now, I want you to understand something about your Bible. one of the biggest images that goes from page one all the way to the last page of the Bible is the temple. You say, what do you mean? Page one, there's no temple. Page one is what God makes the world in 7 days. Page one, God's face is on the water. And God says, let there be light. And he brings light, and then he brings up the land, and he covers the land, earth with a sea, and he separates the what? Separates the sky from the ground, the birds from the ground animals. And then he brings humanity, all in 7 days. Guess what? The temple, it's built in 7 years. It's dedicated on the seventh day of the seventh month. When they pray for it, King Solomon prays seven prayers. The temple is an image of the world that God created in Genesis chapter 1. In other words, this earth was supposed to be God's temple. And in the end, he put his image in the temple, humanity. That's a big image in your Bible. Humans were supposed to be the image of God in the temple, which is the earth. That's the whole message of the Bible. Now, in Eden, the garden, there's life, there's trees, there's the tree of life, there's the tree of knowledge, there's the people living freely. And then they break the law. They have to leave the garden. They leave to the east. They're kicked out. The east. And so this idea of the temple, where God comes to earth to make it new, that's one image. But I want you also to understand a second image. I'm going too far. Let's talk about the temple, okay? So, wrong way. Yeah. John, chapter 2. Jesus is talking to the religious leaders, the priests. And he says, you know what? I'm here. I'm the Son of God. I'm here. And they're saying, who do you think you are? Right? How dare you come in here and turn over the tables and walk in like you are the boss? And they say, who do you think you are? And Jesus says, what? Go ahead. Tear down the... I turned over a few tables. Go ahead and tear down the whole temple. Tear it all down. And I will raise the temple in 3 days. And the priests answer him and they say, who are you? You're just a man. How can you... It took Solomon 7 years to build this temple. You can't raise it in 3 days. But Jesus was not talking about the building temple. He was talking about the temple of his body. The place where heaven and earth meet was the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the living, walking temple. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word of God came and templed with us. Tabernacled with us. He's the temple. Jesus is the place where God's presence, the life of heaven, the living water, the eternal life, it's in Jesus. That's what he's saying. And then, a few chapters later, he's walking along, he's thirsty, he goes to Samaria, he's speaking to a woman. He meets a woman from another ethnicity, and they're chatting, and he says, woman, give me some water from this well, please. And she says, no, I can't give you the water. And she says, you know, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, we can't do this, we can't talk to each other. And he says, look, if you knew who was asking you for water, you would give it. Because the people who drink the water from this well, they will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The temple is talking. The temple with the living water that becomes a river, that becomes life. Now, that water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life. Jesus, the temple, is telling us, I'm going to put my water in you. The water that Ezekiel saw was the water that I'm going to bring. That's what Jesus is saying. Are you with me so far? Yeah? Okay, good. A few more chapters later. Chapter 7. There's a festival in Jerusalem, and Jesus stands up on the last day of the festival. It's a festival where there's a big ceremony of water. The water of God cleansing all of the impurities of the sin. And so Jesus stands up in the middle of all these priests. This is the best. And he cries out. He says, anyone who is thirsty, the water is not here. The water is in me. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone is thirsty. And then he says, I didn't put it up there. Oh, yeah, it says it right there, yeah. Whoever believes in me, excuse me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So what's the image, my friends? What is the image? I'll go back. So in that YouTube video from the Bible Project, here's Jesus, and here's his disciples, all who believe in him. And they come to Jesus, and Jesus fills them with living water. And then, out of his disciples, start flowing this water of life. And it goes out into the world, transforming lives. And so the people on the right and on the left side of this river have new life. Have new life. The life that comes from Jesus. Now, I know the metaphors are mixing. The images are kind of... Hold on. So wait, there's the temple, and Jesus is the temple, and now Jesus makes us a temple? Yes. Where do you get that, Pastor Chris? From the video? No, from the Bible. Look, okay? Jesus' head disciple, Peter, James, and John, the first disciple, he says, look, you yourselves are living stones. Like living stones are being built up as a spiritual house. Translation? Temple. We are the temple. We here, gathered. If anyone... two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus. Jesus is there. Jesus is here. We are the temple. It's not this building, not this roof. It's you and me gathered together in the name of Jesus. We're the temple. And not only us collectively, but us as individuals are the temple. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You do not belong to yourself. You were bought with a price by the blood of Jesus Christ. So the image that Ezekiel had was not only a new temple, not one in Jerusalem, but here, all over the world. God's people becoming the temple. God's people having the presence of God in themselves as individuals and amongst each other as a group, as a collective. And as we gather, as we talk to one another, as we pray for each other, the life of heaven is filling us up. as we come to Jesus together in prayer, in worship, Jesus says, I will make you full of life. You know, I had a dream last night. I was preaching, and it was full of people. Yeah. And it was in the dream, I was like, where did all these people come from? And the people were all Japanese. So I think maybe I was preaching to the Japanese service. Yeah, there's few people here. More empty places than full. I don't care. In the last 3 years in COVID, we had 3 baptisms. Yukari is working today. My son! And Yukino is here. Few people because of Corona. More empty than full. But my student has come. And he brought his friend. We still have new people coming. And God tells me every time, Chris, you come here. We're 2 or 3. There's more than 2 or 3. They're gathered together in my name. I am here. God's presence is here. Jesus Christ is here. Now listen, where is Jesus? Jesus is surrounded by angels of glory. Jesus is surrounded by the host of heaven. Jesus is surrounded by all of the Christians and the saints throughout 2,000 years. That's where Jesus is. This church is not empty. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. I don't care that there's fewer people here. Are you with me? We are the temple where heaven and earth meet together, where the life of heaven comes down to fill our hearts. Okay? Now, there's more. Oh, there's more. So, there's the image of the temple, but you know what else? People are temples, but also in the Bible, there's one more point you must understand. People are trees. Okay? The word tree in your Bible is on every single page. You cannot turn a page in the Bible without tree, bush, branch, vine, okay? Shade, leaves. The word tree is everywhere. Why? In the Bible, the image of a tree is oftentimes an image of a person. Let me give you an example. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, stand in the way of the sinners take, sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. Does this sound familiar? Planted by streams of water, yields its fruit of the season. I feel like we just read that. Right? Ezekiel 47. The image, the fruits, okay? Fruit trees of all kinds grow on both banks of the river. We are those fruit trees. We're growing next to the river of life, who is Jesus Christ. Their leaves don't wither. Their fruit never fail. Every month they bear fruit. Listen, come to Jesus. Be filled with the water of eternal life, and you will bear fruit. Now, I understand. There are seasons in life. It's not always spring. Oftentimes, it's the heat, dryness, and suffering of summer. If you can't say amen, you should say ouch, right? Oftentimes, it's the dead, cold, dark winter of life. It's like, oh God, I can't get up this morning. It's so cold, right? Are you familiar with seasonal affective disorder, SAD? It's an actual disease. 季節性情動障害。聞いたことあります? Yeah, it's a real thing. Basically, if you're in winter time, you feel depressed. Yeah, yeah, okay. I hope I'm not the only one. But anyways, it has nothing to do with the sermon whatsoever. But anyways, it says we bear fruit in every season. In every season. That means this is talking about heaven come to earth. It means us who are in Jesus Christ. You could be in the summer, in the fall, in the winter, but you're bearing fruit. Now, you don't know it. You don't know you're bearing fruit of perseverance. You're bearing fruit of endurance. You're bearing fruit of patience. You're bearing fruit of a deep, deep strength. Because you're going through winter, fall, and summer. Your roots go down deeper into the river of Jesus. And because of that, you're going to bear fruit. You don't feel it. You don't know it. You only realize after you come out of winter, you go, oh, wait, I feel stronger. I can endure more. I'm more patient. These insults don't affect me as they did before. This stress is not as hard as it was before. This relationship, it was so hard at that time. But we come through it, and because of that difficulty, there's something in me that is now life. It was death. But Jesus walked me through. His faithfulness was new every morning. His mercies were new every morning. I was not killed. I'm not dead. I'm still standing. I'm still here. You're a tree planted by the water. That's the vision of Ezekiel. Now, I told you, from page one all the way to the last page of the Bible. What's the last page of the Bible? Revelation 22. Let me take you there. This is the New Jerusalem. This is not heaven. This is heaven come to earth. We don't believe in dying and going to heaven. We believe in heaven coming here. One of those names is the New Jerusalem. This is Revelation 22. The angel showed me, sounds like Ezekiel 47, the river of water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life. 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. This is so important. The healing of the nations. So we read in Ezekiel, right? The water gave the fruit trees for fruit, and it gave the leaves for the healing. That's Revelation. That's Ezekiel. For healing. I was having a conversation with a close friend of mine, and it's funny, we were talking, he's an artist, and he says, you know, as an artist, he's often working by himself, and because he's working by himself, he's always fighting with himself. I don't know, for those of you who are artists, he says, it's a constant fighting with the voice in my mind. And it's tatakai, zutto tatakatteru. He's Japanese. 自分にもずっと戦ってる.
ある日には勝ってる、ある日に負けてる。Sometimes he wins, sometimes he loses.
But I'm constantly fighting the negative voices, the constant criticism from my own heart. There's always, you're not good enough, you're too lazy, and you're too, you know, that, blah, 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 whatever. And he's always fighting himself. And I said, that's not me. I'm never fighting myself. I'm always fighting other people. The fight is not within me. The fight is with everybody else. Yeah, he's terrible. You're bad. You're wrong. I don't like you. You annoy me. I can't stand you anymore. Ugh. Okay? So the fight is not inside. Sometimes the fight is outside. Yeah. All of us are one or the other. If we're honest, we're both. Yeah? We're fighting ourselves. We're fighting others. It's constant conflict. It's a fight. It's like a war. And what happens in war? People get killed. People are wounded. People are broken. Sometimes we wound ourselves. We inflict pain on ourselves. And sometimes, more often, people wound us. We're wounded. We didn't do anything wrong. Their words, their actions, their lies, their deceit. And we're broken, and we're bleeding, and we're wounded. We need healing. Right? And the promise of Jesus Christ is, come to me, who you're thirsty. I will give you rivers of living water. You will be a tree planted, and you will bear fruit for healing. For healing. Not just physical healing. So Tamaki and his friend came to me on Friday. They talked to me about Mark chapter 10. Jesus heals the paralyzed person. He heals a man paralyzed. And Jesus is saying, because I can heal the physical wound, it means I can heal the spiritual wound, the wound of sin. There's only one person who can heal the heart. That's why Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Get up. Take up your mat and go home. Because Jesus can heal our heart, Jesus can heal the world. That's what he's saying. And so, for those of us who are fighting ourselves or fighting others and we've been wounded, we're hurting, we're broken, we're bleeding, you come to Jesus. He fills you with his living water. You grow as a tree. You get healing. Sometimes it takes time. One Sunday, next Sunday, next Sunday, next month. Yeah, it's a river that flows. Sometimes it's like that. I'm healed. Now, one last application. Please understand, this is very important. Please notice, the last bit here. John chapter 7, Jesus says, out of your heart will flow a river. Please understand, when you have healing and you have life, it's not just for you. The river flows out of you. Right? So please, take the living water and give it to someone else. If they're hungry, give them some food. If they just need a few hundred yen, give them. Give life. If they need time, just talk to them for a few minutes. Right? It's not that hard. The river of life is flowing through you. Now, don't flood people. Sometimes you force yourself onto people. You need life. Blah! And they don't want that. Right? Let them come, okay? And let them just, they'll dip their cup whenever they're ready. But the water is not just for you, it's for everybody, because heaven is coming to earth. He comes into us, and we are that water.
that makes the earth new again. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, let's pray. So, Father, Lord, we need healing. We need life. We need the water of heaven to come and fill our hearts. Fill our cups, Lord. Make us whole. Make us new. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.